Mr. Chancellor, I have the honor to present Archbishop Desmond Mapilu Tutu, who has been recommended by the faculty and approved by the Board of Trustees for the degree of Doctor of Divinity.
The Most Reverend Desmond Tutu is Archbishop Emeritus of Cape Town, South Africa, and holder of the 1984 Nobel Peace Prize for his leadership of the Crusade for Justice and Racial Reconciliation in South Africa. After a brief time as a high school teacher, Tutu entered holy orders in the Anglican Church of Southern Africa in 1958. Not long after his ordination to the priesthood, he received his Bachelor of Divinity with honors and Masters of Theology degrees from King's College, University of London. Tutu advanced rapidly in church hierarchy. By 1978, he was Bishop of Lesotho and General Secretary of the South African Council of Churches. In the latter position, he became a national and international figure in the struggle for justice, reconciliation, and an end to apartheid in South Africa. Shortly after receiving the Nobel Peace Prize, Tutu was elected Bishop of Johannesburg, and the following year he was elevated to Archbishop of Cape Town. As primate of the Anglican Church, he emerged as a principal mediator and conciliator in the transition to democracy for all of South Africa's people. In 1995, President Nelson Mandela appointed Archbishop Tutu to head the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, a body created to probe human rights violations that occurred under apartheid. In recent years, Tutu has turned his attention to the campaign against HIV/AIDS. He is a fellow of King's College, University of London, and Chancellor of the University of the Western Cape, South Africa. He has held faculty appointments at numerous institutions. In addition to the Nobel Peace Prize, Tutu's honors include South Africa's Order for Meritorious Service, the Archbishop of Canterbury's Award for Outstanding Service to the Anglican Communion, the Family of Man Gold Medal Award, the Mexican Order of the Aztec Medal, the Martin Luther King Jr. Nonviolent Peace Prize, the Sydney Peace Prize, and the Gandhi Peace Prize. For outstanding accomplishments in furthering social justice and racial reconciliation throughout the world, the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill is pleased to confer on Desmond Mapilu Tutu the degree of Doctor Divinity, honoris causa.
Archbishop Desmond Mapilu Tutu, by virtue of the authority vested in the University of North Carolina, by the State of North Carolina, and by the university entrusted to me, I hereby confer upon you the degree of Doctor of Divinity.
Mr. President, Mr. Chancellor, Chair of the Board of Trustees, distinguished fellow honorary degree recipients, faculty, wow, it's a long list. But especially you over there. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Now that's really a lousy response. Good morning. Slight improvement. Thank you very much. It is such a fantastic privilege and joy to be here with you today. You are just an extraordinary bunch of people. I believe you voted and the White House has a new incumbent. I was in East Lansing and they said, where are you going? And I said, well, Tar Heels and all that. And they said, well, those guys clobbered us. Congratulations. Sometimes they say to you when you come to gatherings such as these, oh, this man is or woman is well known and doesn't need to be introduced. Well, one day I was in San Francisco and a lady came up and she was quite effusive and warm and she said, hello, Archbishop Mandela. And sort of getting two for the price of one. It is a fantastic day, an auspicious day, a day of great celebration, the celebration of your achievement. And wonderfully, wonderfully, your parents, grandparents, your sisters, brothers, spouses, partners, etc., 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 are all basking in reflected glory, your glory. And I ask all of us here to give those fantastic blue-clad creatures, let's give them a really rousing applause. Thank you, thank you. But you over there would be the first to admit that you wouldn't be sitting there had it not been for the incredible support of your parents, your brothers and sisters, your relatives, friends, all of those who have ensured that today you would be the star turn. And I know that you would want to do this, so I ask you to do what you want to do. Only you in blue over there, clap all of the people who made it possible for you to be there today. Okay, we thank you, we don't really want an orgy, okay? Hello? But now we also want to express our appreciation to the men and women, some of whom are sitting behind me, others here in front, who who've guided you, mentored you, so that today you are the scintillating successes you are. Some of them, of course, are a little bemused that, did so-and-so really make it? But let's clap your faculty and all of the other people in the university who did what they did. One day, a man walked in the countryside and then came across a farmer who was standing watching his field of corn. The corn was swaying gently in the breeze. And the traveler came and stood next to the farmer and said, "Gee, what a fantastic job you and God have accomplished. Just look at this beautiful, beautiful field of corn." The farmer kept quiet a little and then said, "You should have seen what it was like when God had it all to himself." Just before I go on, how could I possibly have forgotten that it is Mother's Day? Hey, you mothers! We want to clap you! But of course, you know, fathers might feel a little jealous, but you know, fathers, they couldn't have been mothers without you. So maybe we can clap fathers a little bit too. But what that farmer was saying was communicating a fantastic truth that we know we have a God who is omnipotent. Now, you know, omnipotent means all-powerful. A God who brought into being all of what exists without help from anyone. And yet this, quite paradoxically, this omnipotent God is also impotent. You know, when somebody is hungry, God wants to perform the miracle of feeding that hungry one. But it won't be normally by hamburgers floating down from heaven. If that hungry person is going to be fed, then you and you and you and you and you and all of us have to become God's partners, God's collaborators, God's fellow workers. Just as the farmer had to be God's fellow worker to turn what might have been a wilderness into a gorgeous field of swaying corn. And so when somebody is naked, God won't let kadushi suits float down from heaven. God wants to perform this miracle of clothing this naked one. And it is only because you and you and you and you say, "Yes, God, I want to be your fellow worker. I offer to you the means for effecting this miracle." When there is injustice and oppression, God doesn't normally send a lightning bolt, we might wish that was what God did. But God does not normally send a lightning bolt to zap the perpetrator of injustice and oppression. God waits. God waits on all of us who are prepared to become God's fellow workers, God's partners. And so, when you had the injustice and oppression of apartheid in South Africa, God did not annihilate the apartheid upholders. God waited for all of those who were going to be involved in the anti-apartheid movement. And you know, we suffered under the burden of that awful system. And then we won a great victory. We were free. We're free. But you know something? You know something? We couldn't have accomplished that glorious victory without the help of the international community. There were some fantastic people who said, God, we are going to be your fellow workers. And students, not exclusively, but students overwhelmingly were part of this anti-apartheid movement. And it was just a fantastic thing. I don't know what cockles are, but the cockles of my heart were warmed. Whenever I came to this country, visited college campuses, students were fantastic. You might have forgotten that there was a much-loved president in the White House who was opposed to sanctions and divestment, President Reagan. Students, with their demonstrations, their vigils, helped to change the moral climate in this country so that your Congress passed the anti-apartheid movement bill, and they even had a presidential veto override to boot. And I come to say, hey, hey, thank you, thank you, thank you. No. You're not going to clap. You're not going to clap. So refined. When you have had shackles here and on your ankles and somebody takes them off, you don't. Let me tell you, I discovered that I had a magic wand. Actually, I mean, it's an amazing thing. When I wave it over people, do you know what? It turns them into instant South Africans. So, I wave it over you, and then I can say, fellow South Africans, let's give these Americans a real humdinger. Come on! Thank you, thank you. Now that might appear to be sort of play acting. I want you to know that it comes from the heart. It comes from the heart of millions of my compatriots. Oh, by the way, I wave it over you and you revert to your normal shy self. God. God has a dream. God has a dream, and we say, hey, God, that's a very Martin Luther King Jr. who said that. And God says, yes, no. I know Martin had a dream. I have a dream too. I have a dream that my children everywhere will know that they belong in one family. A family that has no outsiders. You know, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, will draw. He didn't say I will draw some. He said, I will draw all. I will draw all, rich, poor, clever, not so clever, beautiful, not so beautiful, yellow, red, black, gay, lesbian, so-called straight. God said, all. And you know, this is radical. All means Palestinian, Israeli, Bin Laden, you know, George Bush, all belong in this family. And God says, help me to realize my dream. Help me. Because if we apply the ethic of family, you know, in a good, healthy family, you don't say, Granny, how much have you contributed to the family budget? You are going to get in proportion to what you contribute. Oh, baby, what does baby contribute? I mean, most times, sort of strange smells. Baby. And yet baby is the recipient of an outpouring of fantastic love. Nothing from in the good family, you say, to each according to their need, from each according to their ability. If we are family, how can we ever justify spending such obscene amounts on budgets of death and destruction? When we know that just a small fraction would enable children everywhere, our sisters and brothers, to have clean water to drink, would have enough food to eat, would have a decent home, would have a good education, would have affordable health care. How could we possibly? God says, please, will you help me? And you fantastic people over there, God says, go on dreaming. Go on being the idealistic people you are. Go on being the ones who believe that poverty can indeed be made history. Go on believing that it is possible to eradicate hunger. How can we live and sleep comfortably knowing that millions of our sisters and brothers go to bed hungry? God says, please help me to make this world a little more compassionate. Help me, please. Help me to make this world a little more gentle. Don't allow yourself to be infected by the cynicisms of oldies like us. Dream, dream, dream of a world that is going to be without terror, because there will be people, nobody will have become so desperate because of poverty, of disease, of hunger. God says, please, please help me. Please help me. Will you? Will you? Will you? Will you? Will you? Will you?
Archbishop Tutu, for your inspiring words, and I promise you, we've got 3,400 dreamers over there ready to go to work. We now turn to the conferral of the degrees. First, I want to recognize our outstanding undergraduate students.